From the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large. Every spring, more than a dozen writers gather together in Eureka Springs. Usually, this gathering, called Books in Bloom, features a couple of mystery writers, maybe a memoirist or two, a novelist, some writers of nonfiction. Some are from Arkansas, some from the rest of the world. The one thing they all have in common is a desire to talk about the processes of writing and reading. This year's Books in Bloom is Sunday at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka from noon until 5. Again, this year it serves as a fundraiser for the Carroll and Madison County Library Association. One of the writers speaking this year is Jerusalem Jackson Greer, author of the book A Homemade Year, The Blessings of Cooking, Crafting, and Coming Together. While it is correct to describe Jerusalem as a writer, it's not a complete description. She also says she is, in no certain order, a wife, a mama, a yoga fan, book addict, reluctant gardener, crafter, author, former pastor, blogger, and that's an incomplete list. Her book is, interestingly, given that list, about a family's attempt to slow down.
My family, we say kind of right now, our goal or mission as a family is we're trying to find a way to live a slower version of modern life. We definitely like our technology. We like our iPhones, and I'm a blogger, so of course I do a lot of social media. So we don't want to completely withdraw from the world, the fast kind of paced world. I work outside the home, and so does my husband, and we have a busy life. And so we're trying to find that way to kind of slow down where we are instead of, you know, a lot of people do try to find a way to just kind of completely take themselves out of modern life, whether it's to move to a farm or another country or to do that sort of thing. And we are not in a position to do that. And so we have been trying to figure out how can we live slower, more sustainably, take more notice of what's around us instead of always thinking about what could be, and trying to find out how to do that right where we are without changing all of our external circumstances.
I like that answer.
Thank you.
A homemade year follows the liturgical calendar, which means that there are some things to consider and celebrate that are not words that you hear all the time anymore. Advent, Epiphany. And it's a different sort of way to look at the year, isn't it, for many people?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I was not raised in a liturgical tradition. I had exposure to it. I have a grandmother who is Presbyterian, and she taught at a Catholic school. And so I got glimpses when visiting with her, but it's definitely not how I was raised. But I found that once I had kids and we were trying to establish a rhythm in our home, that I was looking for ways for us to kind of slow down and mark the days. And I noticed that around Easter and Christmas, we had those opportunities. There were a lot of reasons, even though those can feel like, especially Christmas, can feel like it's very busy, you are kind of repetitively acknowledging one certain idea. You're acknowledging one certain kind of ideal and values, or that's not even a good word for it. But so at Christmas, you're doing the same traditions over and over and over, and I found that it helps you kind of to mark your path in life. I can remember every Christmas just about of my life, and not only can I remember the Christmas, but I can remember what my life looked like at that Christmas. I can remember the year that my dad was in seminary, and he got hives, and the puppy, you know, the dog had all the puppies, and there was the snowstorm, and I can tell the story not just of the Christmas, but what was happening in our life at large. And I see following the liturgical calendar as a way to put into place a system to stop throughout the year and take stock and pause for a moment and reflect. And that it also helps when you're trying to look back over your life or my children's childhoods, that they'll remember different parts of their childhood, because they have these kind of these markers, almost like these mile markers throughout the year, and not just at Christmas or not just at their birthday.
I love that, because you're right. We all have these memories of December, and depending on the month you were born then. But there are those gray areas from childhood that I don't really remember what happened in August.
Right. Like, what's all, I mean, yeah. It's just this, you know, March, unless there was an Easter, but it's just kind of this generic month, you know. And so I really wanted to find some ways to hang. Almost, I just kind of feel like it's hanging your memories at that spot, and then you make another loop, kind of like hanging a popcorn garland around a tree, that you find these stopping points. So, and I love a good party, and so I found more ways to throw more parties.
You mentioned that you come from a family, as you write, full of preachers.
Oh, yes.
Now, and I just wonder, do you think there, because it seems like there are a lot of families that have preachers and writers in them. Do you think there's a genetic connection there?
I think there's definitely a genetic storytelling, or at least a environmental storytelling component that gets handed down. For the 2 years that I was a pastor and I had to prepare sermons, it was very similar to writing the chapters in the book. And the preachers that I come from, the pastors I come from, that family, are big readers and are big researchers, and they do write out their sermons for the most part. And so, at least in my family, I have found that it does seem to be a shared genetic or environmental component to all of our ending up in this kind of way where we're trying to tell stories and illuminate through them.
You know, when you write a book, you can hear back from people if they write letters or if you go to something like Books in Bloom. But with a blog, it can be instant.
Yes.
Do you prefer one over the other?
I really, you know, I've had the blog for almost 8 years, I think, and I really do enjoy seeing on that. And now I hear from readers on Facebook, on Twitter. Almost every day someone will say, oh, I gave this to my mother and she's loving it, or, oh, you know, I can't put it down. And so it's kind of funny. You kind of feel like you're getting feedback from all directions. And instead of just being able to know, okay, this is the area I'll get feedback and I won't look at that until I'm ready, you can just kind of walk around and it's popping up on your phone and it's coming in through the mail. I really do love, though, getting to meet readers one-on-one. One of the most fun parts about this experience on this side of it is when I take the book to various church groups or women's groups or sewing circles, and I've done some different speaking engagements, and getting to talk about the book and read the book and then hearing back how it resonates with them right away, or their stories. A lot of people start telling me stories about traditions from their childhoods, and that this book kind of brings back to them, and they get a sense of that memory. And so that's been really fun. I really love hearing those sorts of connections, and any way they come to me is wonderful.
Should mention that the blog is jollygoodgal.com. And there is a recipe for something called banana bread pie. Is it as good as that title suggests?
Oh, yes. That pie is a big hit, and it's one of the easiest things to make. I think there's about 3 ingredients, and it's definitely one of those, if you have leftover bananas and you're sick of making banana bread, it's a fun option.
Finally, I have to, I didn't want to mention this, but I have to, with a name like Jerusalem Greer, and
yes,
Jerusalem Jackson Greer, and you had a father named Johnny Joe Jackson Jr., you had to do some sort of writing.
Yeah, how are you not going to write with a name like that?
Yeah, that's a marvelous name.
Yeah, thank you. I have to give credit primarily to my mother, and like you said, my dad's name is Johnny Joe Jackson Jr., and so there's 4 of us, my siblings and I, and we all have J names, and they're all from the Bible. So it's Jerusalem, Joshua, Jemima, and Judea.
Oh, those are fantastic.
Yeah, so
what
we
was
never
it?
Got mixed up.
What was it like when you would meet a stranger or a teacher for the first time and they'd see that name?
Well, they either wanted to know if I had a nickname, which my mother was very adamant that I would not have a nickname. She said, I named you Jerusalem for a reason, and that's what you will be. And then the other thing is, especially it seemed because I did, like I said, come from a family of pastors, and so I was in church environments quite a bit. There's an old song that they say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and so people would just sing that to me. I'd walk through the door, and that's just, you know, I just got that a lot, or the Israel or Bethlehem, you know, they just kind of play off of it. But I really never minded. I love my name, and I feel very privileged to have such a unique name. And am grateful for a creative mother who thought of it.
Jerusalem Jackson Greer is the author of the book, A Homemade Year, The Blessings of Cooking, Crafting, and Coming Together. She'll be in Eureka Springs twice this weekend, Friday evening from 5 until 8 at Eureka Time, and Sunday as part of Books in Bloom from noon until 5 at the Crescent Hotel. You can read much more from her at her website, jollygoodgal.com, and that's good with an E at the end. You can learn more about the other writers scheduled to be at Sunday's Books in Bloom at booksinbloom.org.